Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is brought to you by the Gordon Law School as a public service. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and then in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on legal analysis when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national consciousness. You know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to the law is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package first. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on to our archives page and you can download that free General Law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org and go to our archives page. All right, last time I said we'd take up the last portion of this thing here called legal analysis as it relates to filthy communication. I was in class one day and there was a kind of a religious type in there and he asked me the question, why do you use such foul language? I didn't know that my language was so foul. And then I told him that. I said, I didn't know that my language was so foul. And he said, you use four-letter words constantly. And I said, well, I do that to communicate. I have a public speaking style that I use to communicate ideas to other people's minds. And I use the language that I use to communicate those ideas. And he said, yes, but why do you have to communicate those ideas with these four-letter words? And I said, because without those four-letter words that I'm using for emphasis, then I can't communicate my ideas from my mind to yours. Now, when people communicate, have you listened to the president or you listen to a politician and the news reporter asks him a question and he talks and talks and talks and talks, but he never tells you anything. He never answers the question. He's not doing that accidentally. He's doing that on purpose because he doesn't want to tell you the answer. And I think that that's a mistake. I think that a direct answer is the correct way to communicate ideas. In other words, if you ask me, why do you use these four-letter words? The answer is because I am vulgar, and I use vulgar language to communicate ideas and to emphasize points. Well, I'm offended. Well, I'm sure you are. I'm offended when I listen to politicians. When I listen to mealy-mouthed, lying hypocrites, I am offended. I don't see anybody out there getting mad at the president or politicians and the president of BP Oil because they're mealy-mouthed, lying hypocrites. Nobody seems to get excited. Now, if I come along and I spice up my points by using four-letter words, people get offended and they say, oh, kind of like Judy Hartson getting gasping for air because little Georgie used fart. All right, now, filthy communication. It's mentioned three times in the scripture. And if you were to ask a religious guy, he would say Ephesians 4:29 prohibits the use of four-letter words. And Colossians 3 verse 8 does the same thing, and 2 Peter 2 verse 7 does the same thing. So why don't you write those three down so you got a reference point? It's Ephesians 4:29, Colossians 3 verse 8, and 2 Peter 2 verse 7. Now, I researched those out. I did a legal analysis of those three scriptures. I don't believe that those three scriptures are talking about four-letter words at all. That's not the subject matter of the intent of the lawmaker to prohibit four-letter words. Now, I'm not going to use some of these four-letter words because some of them constitute filthy speech, which is prohibited by the FCC and delineated by the Supreme Court. That's filthy speech. Then we have free speech. Now, free speech includes all of those words that the FCC and the Supreme Court have not branded as filthy speech. So I'm not using any filthy speech. I mentioned that to you in the last program. Nobody's complaining about that. What they're complaining about is that I'm using these vulgar words, and I admitted to that. I didn't deny that. I'm a vulgar man, and I use vulgar speech. And I think I went through and explained to you what vulgar was, didn't I? If I didn't, let me take a minute here, and let's go to S-T-U-V, vulgar, V-U-L-G-A-R, vulgar. Let's see if I can find it here. Jesus was a vulgar man who used vulgar speech. Vulgar, it's from vulgus, remember the common people, that is the crowd, pertaining to the common unlettered people. Jesus was a common unlettered person who was a carpenter, who used four-letter words and was vulgar. And he was asked on numerous occasions, why do you associate with these publicans and sinners over here? Well, because, he said, the righteous need not a physician because they're whole. You see, you religious people out there, you people, the 70 million of you who are going to be raptured away, you don't need any more. You've already got it made. You Christians that are saved, why do you need me to come and tell you about the Noah's flood or about the creation or about Joshua's long day? You see, you're already well-versed in that. You're already saved. The guy that needs to hear the story about the Big Bang and evolutionary philosophy versus Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is the carpenter, plumber, or electrician, you know, the guy who is the soldier, the sailor, the prostitutes, the farmers. Those are the people that need to hear that story. So I come on the air every once in a while, and I'll put on a story about evolution. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's as phony as a $3 bill, and here's why. Now, let me show you. Let me prove that to you scientifically. That's the guy that needs to hear this, not the guy that's already righteous. And those people understand four-letter words. There's no misunderstanding there. So that being the case, then let me give you the rest of the story here. Filthy communication, Ephesians 4, verse 29, it deals with false doctrine. And the word you want to look up is number 3056, Ephesians 4, 29. That's right. If you chase that out, you know, when you translate from the Greek to the English guy came along, he said, well, I think that's filthy communication. He used it. Well, that's fine. As long as filthy communication in your mind equals false doctrine instead of four-letter words, that's fine. But, you see, the religious people took that and they said, well, filthy communication means four-letter words, not false doctrine. Oh, no, go look that up again. See, I did my legal analysis here, preacher. I did my homework. I looked it up, and it comes from word 3056, and it means false doctrine. That's what filthy communication is. So when God is talking to you about people who have filthy communication, it's the people who come to you with false doctrines and tell you that Noah's flood was local, or tell you that the creation was done through the Big Bang and through evolution over long periods of time. That's filthy communication. That's false doctrine. That's a lie. I didn't do that. Now, I've done a lot of things, and I don't deny it. If you wanted to ask me, were you at some time in the past foul-mouthed? Oh, yeah. Profane? You bet. Perverted? Yep. Obscene? Did it. Blasphemer? Yeah, I was one of those two. And I never did make the grade of tax evader, tax cheater, tax fraud. No, I'm kind of sorry I didn't, but I gotta tell you, I never cheated the government out of a penny, not a nickel. And I mentioned this before. I've been through five audits. Five audits. Passed them all. So I got to tell you that I don't qualify for tax evader, tax cheater, tax fraud. And furthermore, I'm not evading, cheating, or defrauding the government out of any of its taxes today either. I'm just, you know, I don't qualify. I don't qualify for cult leader, and I don't qualify for foul mouth. I do qualify for vulgar. I am that. But I don't qualify for profane, perverted, or obscene. I'm just not doing that. It's not that I'm opposed to it. You know, I'm not sitting here telling you that I never was obscene, perverted, profane, or foul mouth, but I quit doing that. Now, the guys that are actually doing that are the guys that are the blasphemers, And I showed you in the last program, the guys that are the blasphemers over here are the ones that are scorning, abhorring, give occasion against God, condemning God, despising God, provoking God. They're treasonous against God. They're cursing God. They vilify. They speak impiously. Boys and girls, speak impiously. You know, they say, I said one time, well, for Christ's sake. And Judy Hartson just gasped. Excuse me. If Christ was his name, then I said, well, for Christ's sake. That's not some impious use of the name of God. But I'll tell you what an impious use of the name of God is. It's a reproach to say that the flood was local. He reported to you that it was worldwide. Why are you going around to hack with words by saying that it wasn't? I just threw the question out for you. Same thing with Joshua's long day. You know, that all the preachers, you know, they're embarrassed by that. They believe in evolution, you know, and they're embarrassed by Joshua's long day. I'm not. Joshua's long day is very scientific, easily provable. I've got the evidence here. And I use it in my classes quite often. Now, I'm not a very competent scientist, but I'm not, you know, dead stupid. You know, I'm just a plumber betrayed, but, you know, I'm not brain dead. And then furthermore, all of us commoners out here, all of us people, you know, who are the profane, you know, they call us profane, the soldiers, the sailors, the carpenters, the plumbers, electricians, whores, prostitutes, comedians, actors, prisoners, farmers, politically incorrect, the commoners and the vulgars, all of us guys out here, hey, listen, we can learn this. It isn't something, you know, that's way out there in the neither parts of heaven, you know, that's so difficult to be understood. But those that are politically correct, the intellectuals, the professors, those are the people that set themselves up as the censors. And they have determined for us that we should obey the laws of our state, that the Bible is a good book, but it's full of error. You should pay your taxes and don't use bad words. Don't use vulgar language. Well, excuse me. I think we should use vulgar language because our Messiah did. I don't think we should pay these income taxes and Social Security taxes, and that's because he didn't, and the law requires us to pay our tithes, and he told us not to. I don't think that the Bible is full of mistakes and errors. You know, God himself said the Scripture cannot be broken, and the Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. I think that our Creator gave us the straight skinny. I think it's the intellectuals and the professionals. I think it's the guys that graduated from the Harvard's Divinity School. I think those are the guys with their heads up their hind ends. That's my opinion. I know it makes them mad, and they get excited, and then they run around and they say, well, that guy Gordon over there is foul mouth. Well, let's take a look at some of these words that are commonly used. Now that I showed you what filthy communication was, it's false doctrine. I deny that I'm spreading false doctrine. The Messiah said man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I think, it's my opinion, I think that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is true, accurate, and correct, and that's because he told us that it was. And the guys that are running around telling you that no, it isn't true, accurate, and correct, and you can't depend on the Scripture because it's not scientifically accurate, I think those are blasphemers. I think those are guys that are filled with filthy communication. You don't know. I said, I'll present my evidence. I'll come and make a defense for myself. And those things that I am guilty of or those things that I am doing, I'll fess up. But I'm not going to admit to being foul-mouthed, profane, perverted, or obscene, or a blasphemer, or a false prophet. Doesn't fit the bill. Now I said I'm vulgar, illiterate, unlettered, ignorant, politically incorrect, and a liar. All of that's true. I don't deny it. But that doesn't mean that the other 12 charges are true. Now let's take another look here at some of these words that are commonly used, and then somebody comes along and says, well, wait a minute, you're using filthy communication. Let's try the word bastard. Bastard? You know, the dumb bastard, the bastard. What is a bastard anyway? Has anybody ever looked up the word to find out what it is? Is that a bad word? Well, in religious people's minds, it is. They want to use the word illegitimate, Woods colt, or some other euphemism that would deny the plain truth. Now, here's what the plain truth is. The word bastard appears in the Old Testament twice, and it's word number 4464. Go look it up. 4464 in Strong's Concordance. It means a mongrel or a crossbreed. Mongrel or crossbreed. Now, in Anglo-Saxon administration, we have a word called illegitimate. Illegitimate means that you were born out of wedlock. You cannot inherit if you're born out of wedlock. But illegitimate and bastard are not synonymous terms. Now, we have created a synonymous term called bastard and illegitimate. In common vernacular today, we say, well, that guy was born out of wedlock. He is a bastard. That's not true. It's like saying, oh, that guy is a sodomite. He's gay. That's not true either. Gay and sodomite are not synonymous terms. And bastard and illegitimate are not synonymous terms. We have created that bastardized concept. I don't deny it. Yeah, I understand, you know, people have used the word gay to describe a sodomite, but that's not what the original intent of the word was. Now, we can use it that way, and I'm fully familiar with the way that's used today. Okay. But now, you see what happens to you when you go into court and you start using these words loosely, you know, kind of shooting from the hip. All of a sudden, you get yourself into a lot of trouble here because the judge, you know, he's listening to what you're telling him, and then when he applies the legal definition to the word, he's going to hold you to it. When somebody walks in and pleads not guilty, the judge says, oh, okay, I hear you. I've said to you before, you know, typically when you go in and plead not guilty, you reduce the controversy to a single clear-cut issue of fact to be decided by the jury. Your legal defense is dead in the water at that point in time. And that's what happened to Reynolds. He went in and pled not guilty to polygamy, and he couldn't win from that point on. So maybe pleading not guilty isn't what you want to do. Maybe what you really want to do is demur or amend the complaint or make some other plea or answer the complaint or do something else. Maybe you better do your legal analysis before you open your mouth. So I just thought I'd point that out. So the word bastard over here means a mongrel or a crossbreed. A mongrel can inherit if he's not illegitimate. Mongrel, crossbreed. All right, so with that word out of the way, let's take a look at the word damn. Do you remember Clark Gable in 1939 in the movie Gone with the Wind made the immortal statement, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, said that to Scarlett O'Hara. And the religious people just came unhinged, and they just jumped up and down, and they said, oh, my God, we've got vulgar language in our movies and one thing and another. It was a tempest in a teapot. The word damn appears in the Bible over and over again. It's not a bad word at all. And if you'll look the word up, it's word number 2917, 2920, and 684. It also appears, it's word number 2632 and 2919. Damnable is word number 684. So we've got damnation, damned, damn. Damnable. And here's what it means, just in case you wanted to know. It means judgment, decision, die, perish, sentence, ruin or loss, die, perish, waste, condemn, judged, and decreed. Now, what is it that is obscene or filthy communication about judgment, decision, die, perish, damned, condemn, judged, decreed, damnable, ruin, loss, die, perish, or waste? Huh? Come on. I would say let's wake up and smell the coffee. So there's nothing that's inherent about the word bastard or damn that is a four-letter word. Or that's for that matter, it's not even vulgar. Except in the minds of those religious people who are the self-appointed censors who come to us and say, well, that's filthy communication and you shouldn't use it. So vulgar, profane, bitch, ass. Damned, bastard, illegitimate, piss, dung, breast, and sodomite are not bad words. Let me repeat that list again. There is nothing that is inherently wicked or evil about vulgar, profane, bitch, ass, damned, bastard, illegitimate, piss, dung, breast, or sodomites. Those are all words that have real meanings, and they should be used correctly. Now, any time that we're writing a brief, a motion, or an answer, a pleading, you need to be careful that the words that you use are true, accurate, and correct, and that you know what those words mean. Oftentimes, what a word means in Webster is something different than what it means in Bovier. And a lot of times, what you see in Webster is something different than what you see in the Scripture. And what is used in the Scripture is sometimes referred to as being vulgar. Now, let's take a look at the word piss. Now, that's a good one. I like that one. It's word number 7890, and it's mentioned 8 times in the Scripture. I mean, 8 times in the Bible, this old English word piss that religious people just gasp in horror, P-I-S-S, a four-letter word. It means urine, urinate, and there's a word named called pisseth, P-I-S-S-E-T-H, and it's used in this context. It says, the men pissed against the wall. Boys and girls, wake up. Men, when they go into the men's room, the men's lavatory, the men's bathroom, do you know that they're pissing against the wall? Sure, there's a urinal there, but wait a minute. You know, we're not sitting down, girl. We're standing up there and we're pissing against the wall. Now you knew that. And so why would we deny it? Why do we want to come around and say, well, this is a bad word mentioned 8 times here in the scripture? It's a bad word because we've made it a bad word. We have elevated ourselves. We have created a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. So we're creating what in our minds is piousness. You know, we have to come up with a religiosity, and so we do. We come up with these religious terms, and we come up with these practices. And if we don't use bad words, we're righteous. Boys and girls, what you're saying out of your mouth, these four-letter words, that's not the problem. The filthy communication isn't the word piss. The filthy communication is the false doctrine that you're communicating when you tell people that the flood was local instead of worldwide. Read the chapters for yourself. Now, I'm not here to apologize for the Creator. You know, he can speak for himself. Read chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then go read your science textbook while they tell you that you evolved and that there's a Big Bang and all this good stuff. Now, listen, if you want to believe in the Big Bang, that's fine. I'm not arguing with you. And if you think that the Scripture is a lie, that's fine. Go ahead. That's your own personal view. When you run around telling people that Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is a lie and that the Big Bang is true, that's where blasphemy comes in. Now, if you want to do that, you'll get after it. But I'm not blaspheming the name of God. First of all, Jesus ain't his name, and neither is Christ. You can't blaspheme Jesus and Christ. Now, there is a law against using those names, and it's in Exodus 23, verse 13. Let me show you how that one works. If you were going to accuse me of a crime, I'm in violation of Exodus 23, verse 13. Let me read you the statute. It's not because I'm in violation of the second commandment. And at least charge me with what I'm doing. Don't go out here and bring false charges against me. 23 verse 13, it says, "And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, and neither let it be heard out of your mouth." Now, the use of the name of these other gods used piously. Do you know Jesus? Do you have Jesus in your heart today? Now listen, this guy Jesus over here, I showed you that the other day. And that name is a Greek name, and it's Zeus. It's the Greek sun god Zeus. Now, if you want to worship the Greek sun god, that's fine. Don't let me get in your way. But that's idolatry. That's the violation of the first commandment. And when you take that name, Jesus, then you use it piously, because you're sitting there saying, well, we don't want to be profane. We don't want to profane the name of God. Well, all right. But that name, Jesus, is a crime, and it violates Exodus 23, verse 13. So sometimes people say that, the Holy Name people, they'll say, well, why do you use the name of Jesus? Well, the reason that I use it is so that the people, you know, the carpenters, plumbers, and electricians that I'm talking to, know who it is that I'm referring to. Because if I went around here and I said, do you know Yahweh? They kind of look at you like, huh? Well, the common names that we use here in the West are Jesus, Christ, and God. Now, the Muslims use the word Allah when they're referring to their God. And they are very circumspect in the use of their name. Now, this name Allah over here, I don't know who Allah refers to. I don't know if it's the creator of the universe. I don't know if it's Yahweh or Yahshua or Jesus. I don't know if it's some god, a sun god. I haven't looked it up. So I wouldn't say until I looked it up and found out, which is the purpose now, remember, for legal analysis. You want to be careful if you're going to use the word, that you know what it means and where it comes from, and how's the judge going to view that word when you use it. Now, as I said the other day, you know, nobody's complaining about my use of language on the air, at least not from the FCC, not from the FBI. We're not having a problem now with the carpenters, plumbers, and electricians, and the prostitutes, and the whores, and the girls that work at Mustang Ranch. Now, they're not complaining. The guys that are complaining now are the religious guys, and it's the people at the radio station that said, hey, wait a minute, you know, we can't play you. You're vulgar, unlettered, illiterate, ignorant, politically incorrect, and a liar. To which I said, well, yeah, well, that's true, but then, wait a minute, except for the liar over here, you know, that pretty well fits just about everybody, doesn't it? You know, if I ask people, are they liars, they always tell me, well, no, I'm not a liar, until you get down to it and ask them, have you lied in the past, are you lying recently, and you're going to lie again in the future? And they all say, well, yeah, well, isn't that pathological lying? All right, I'm going to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review that was sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour is, the law school, offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief in the Law Hour. An editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, doesn't mean that the author or the publication is going to endorse us. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org or call us direct at 417-273-4967. While I'm thinking about it here, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. We make that clear each broadcast so that you don't think that what I'm saying or what I believe, what I teach, what we do here in any way reflects the beliefs of advertisers or sponsors. Remember that advertisers and sponsors buy time. They buy these commercial spots to advertise their products. Now, the reason that we don't do our program with spots is because in the past, when I would come on the air and do my radio program, during my program, people that were selling gold and silver and other things would get on that program because they wanted to reach my listening audience, and then they would advertise paper gold. And I said, well, I don't believe in paper money and paper gold and one thing and another, but it's kind of guilt by association, you know what I mean? And so when I buy time on a radio station and you're listening to the radio station, don't get mad at the guy, you know, that's advertising. He's just buying time to let you know that he's selling widgets, and the radio station, they're just selling time because that's their business. And they sell time to me. They sell time to President Obama. They sell time to people that are running for political office that they're not going to vote for, but, you know, that's their business. So, again, you know, be broad-minded enough that you don't blame the radio station for anything that I say or the sponsors or the management or the staff. You know, those people are just doing their job, making a living, and they probably disagree with me just like you do. But they need to make a living. They need to sell the time and one thing and another. Now, in some cases, they won't sell me the time. That hasn't happened in the past, but it has just recently. And so I thought, well, I'm going to defend myself because I don't think that their allegations are true. Now, I said I was going to go down a list of words over here. Let's see if we can do that. There are a number of words here that people get excited about or terms or things that I use. Now, for instance, I use expressions. And these expressions are used for communication. Like I say sometimes, that guy acts like Bill Clinton in a whorehouse with a credit card. That may be vulgar, but it's true. It conveys meaning. And there isn't a carpenter, plumber, electrician out there that doesn't pick right up on what I'm trying to convey there. They can go to hell in a handbasket. The word hell is not a bad word. I could say they can go to California in a handbasket. They can go to Florida in a handbasket. They can go to heaven in a handbasket. It doesn't convey the same meaning as they can go to hell in a handbasket. The word hell, look it up in the scripture. It's referring to a hole in the ground. A grave is hell. It refers to a garbage dump in Jerusalem, and it refers to the lake of fire. What is it that's necessarily bad, you religious guys out there, about the lake of fire, a garbage dump, or a hole in the ground? Huh? I mean, come on, wake up and smell the coffee. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, you know, it's a euphemism. Well, okay. But euphemisms are used all the time. And I've used it, you know, I've referred to it time again. Gay and sodomite. Gay is a euphemism for sodomite. And gay is used by you people out there all the time. You use euphemisms all the time. And you're setting yourselves up as the censors. And I'm sitting here challenging your capacity to censor me. Hell is not a bad word. If a whore can make it, then there's some hope for a plumber. The whore I'm referring to is the one at Jericho. What was her name? Rahab the harlot. Harlot, whore, prostitute. She was a madam. She's running a whorehouse. And if you don't think so, what do you think those two Israelite spies were doing in a whorehouse? gathering intelligence, of course. You know, that's what soldiers do, right? Soldiers go to whorehouses, sailors go to whorehouses, and they know exactly what I'm telling them. When I use the term, hey, boys, if a whore can make it, then there's a little hope for us. Now, the religious people would sit there and say, you know, you've got to be righteous like us. You know, if you're not righteous like us, you know, you're going to go to hell. No. Wait a minute. You know, the Messiah said that the harlots and the publicans are going into the kingdom before you scribes and Pharisees. Yeah, that's a fact. That's in Matthew chapter 9. He said, you know, in the final analysis, you know, the commoners and the vulgars and the soldiers and the sailors and the harlots, they're going in before Jerry Falwell, Billy Graham, and Oral Roberts, assuming that those three clowns make it at all. One of Flo's girls, you know, one of Flo's girls, or a lot lizard, is a derogatory term that we use. You know, every truck driver knows what a lot lizard is. The people that speak the King's English, they refer to lot lizards as a fallen woman, a soiled dove, or a woman of the night. And a fallen woman, a soiled dove, and a woman of the night does not convey the same meaning as one of Flo's girls, a lot lizard, or a prostitute, or a whore. And I've said that if God made anything better than a pig to eat, he kept it for himself. Well, listen, the religious people, they're out here telling you that Acts 10 cleans pig. I defy you to go read Acts 10. Anybody that's got an intelligence above the speed limit now, go read Acts chapter 10. The subject matter of Acts chapter 10 is discrimination, racial discrimination. By using an allegory or a story concerning unclean meat, of which Peter said, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Well, then don't call this Italian over here common or unclean. Deals with race, doesn't deal with unclean meat. What they've done is they have twisted that to justify the eating of pork, which is, again, blasphemy. The very people who accuse me of blasphemy are the blasphemers. That's what they did with the Messiah. They came in and they said, well, you're a blasphemer. No, he wasn't, but they were. And it's a pretty common trait. If you're guilty of something, you accuse your opponent of it, but you accuse him first. That forces him to defend. And so when somebody says, well, this guy Gordon over here says he's a blasphemer, say, no, you force me to defend. I can do that. Now, there's the religious guys will come along and say, well, you're preaching another Jesus. No, I am not preaching another Jesus. I am not preaching Jesus at all, period. Jesus is the Greek sun god. I'm not preaching that guy at all. So in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, when somebody says, well, that guy Gordon, he's running around here preaching another Jesus, you know. And wait a minute. It is true. The scripture says there's deception out here. If somebody comes and preaches to you about another creator, another God, then don't you receive it? Well, see, you people have already received Zeus. So when I come along and I say, well, this guy Zeus over here, this is the Greek sun god, right away in your mind you say, well, that guy Gordon's preaching another Jesus. We've got to watch out for him. I didn't come here to get you guys to believe in another Jesus or Jesus, period. I said, why don't you look it up for yourself and find out. The scripture says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Don't believe people just because they tell you. Now, I use the term here sometimes, you know, that's why God has a bitch with us. The word bitch is a female dog. And it's used in a vernacular way to describe this. He came over and he bitched me out. He came over and complained about my behavior. Now, there's something to be said about, well, he's complaining about my behavior. That conveys a meaning. But if I said, well, he came over and bitched me out, why don't you, or I'm over here to talk to you because somebody said that you were going to bitch me out, and I said, well, I'm going to come over and talk to you about it. Well, okay. Everybody understands that down here that speaks vulgar. We're not having a problem with that. But the word bitch is not a bad word. It just means a female dog. So what's your problem with that? I could come over here and say, well, he cowed me out. Well, he catted me out. Well, he dogged me out. Come on. Dog, cat, and cow doesn't have the same meaning as bitch. So that's why we use it. And that's because, again, every commoner, every vulgar, every soldier, every sailor knows exactly what I mean. So if there's one thing that I'm not guilty of, it's being vague and ambiguous. I'm not vague and I'm not ambiguous. Is there anybody out there that understands what I'm telling them? Is it bad language? I deny it. It is true that there is some language or speech that is prohibited now on the air, and I don't deny it, and I'm not using that. But the expressions that I'm using over here are not impious. They're not aimed at God. They don't ridicule or make fun of the Creator at all. And they're politically incorrect, and they're religiously incorrect. They're politically and religiously incorrect. That's a bunch of BS. Here's a good one, nigger, N-I-G-E-R. It's in the scripture. You'll find it, word number 3526. And I think it's in Acts 13, verse 1, mentioned one time in the scripture. Now, we have made that word a reproach, but that's not what the word means at all. Go look it up. The word is a French word, and it means Nigerian. It's the French word for Nigerian, called nigger. It's spelled N-I-G-E-R and pronounced Niger in French, or it's spelled N-E-G-E-R, not quite sure how that's pronounced, or its anglicized version is N-I-G-E-R, and it's also a close kiss and cousin of Negro, which also means black man. Nothing about Negro or nigger that is a reproach until we made it a reproach. See, the politically correct came along and they said, okay, we're going to censor everybody and we're going to declare that these words are politically incorrect. But there wasn't anything inherently incorrect about them to start with, any more than the word piss is necessarily incorrect. Oh, I'm fully aware that today if you were to say you're pissed off, you know, people gasp like Judy Hartson, but the word is in the scripture 8 times, for crying out loud. What are you trying to tell me here, that God is foul-mouthed and using bad language? All right, going on. I use the term sometimes pig-eating Christians. Are you Christians bummed out because I said you're a bunch of pig-eating Christians? Now listen, think about this for a second. Are you a Christian? And then if the answer is yes, do you eat pig? If the answer is yes, well then aren't you a pig-eating Christian? Now, when I use that term, am I using it as a reproach? Well, of course I am. Why? Well, because it's against the law, and all of you Christians out there ought to know that. In fact, there isn't a one of you out there that doesn't know that, which is why you're hypocrites, because you're eating pig. And then using Acts 10 to justify it, and Acts 10 deals with religious discrimination, which now makes you guilty of blasphemy, because now you're reproaching God by using filthy communication, which is false doctrine. Huh? Come on. Now, it is true I'm illiterate. I never said that I understood much more than 5% of the language, but I'm getting pretty damn good with the 5% that I do know. I can't speak for the 95% of the English language that I don't know, but I've got about 5% of it down pat now, kids. And so can you. And the important part of this is, now as a lesson, you want to walk into law school. You need to be able to code plead out. You need to be able to do a legal analysis on where we stand. Now, I gave you 18 words here, and I said, now I've been accused of these 18 thingies over here. Now, I code plead them out, and I did a legal analysis here this week, and I said, now, some of these things it is true I'm guilty of, but some of these things I'm not. You know, I just didn't do that. So at least charge me with what I did do, and then I'll come in here, and then I'll plead to that. And then we can get on with the real business at hand. Bring forth your witnesses, evidence, and testimony here. Words like ass, that's a donkey. So when I say I don't give a rat's ass, well, wait a minute. Everybody understands I don't give a rat's ass. A rat owns a donkey. He's sitting on top of his donkey. I said, I don't give a rat's ass. Reminds me of a story one time. My daughter went to school, and then she had a pin, and she pinned this pin on. And it was a screw about 3 inches long, pretty good-sized pin. And there was a little slogan on the pin. It says, screw the IRS. Screw the IRS. She went to school, and the teacher just went ballistic and sent her down to the principal, who called my wife. And so here's my daughter. She's sitting out here in the hall, and she's being detained. And my wife went in, and she said, well, what's the problem? And the teacher said, well, your daughter came to school with this scurrilous pin that's defaming the Internal Revenue Service. And then my wife looked at the pin, and she said, what is scurrilous about it? Well, it says, screw the IRS. That's obscene. And my wife said, wait a minute. That says, screw the International Revolving Screw. That's the name of the International Revolving Screw Company. That is an advertisement for screws. It is advertising screws made by the International Revolving Screw Company. It says, screw the IRS. Use International Screw Company screws. What's obscene about that? And the principal looked at her like, surely, lady, you must be jesting. You know, the word screw doesn't have any sexual connotation to it at all. You placed that there. You created that. An ass is mentioned in the donkey in the Bible many times. So when somebody uses the word ass and you have some other meaning, something else comes into your mind, you put that there. There isn't anything about an ass. that is sexual or that is dirty. Come on, wake up. Damn is not a dirty word. Bastard is not a dirty word. Piss is not a dirty word. Dung is not a dirty word. Dung. You know what dung is? It's the feces or the excrement that comes from cows. We call it manure when it comes from animals. You know? Scat. If it comes from a bear, you call it bear scat. Dung. Well, listen, that's not necessarily wicked and evil. You have to have some way to describe it. And in the scripture, the word dung is used quite a few times to describe, you know, to describe what it is. So I just wanted to point out that the word dung is used in the scripture here. And it's not a dirty word. You know, now there is a couple of words there that come from dung that we can't use on the air because the FCC says so. But boys and girls, let's understand something over here, that these expressions and that these words that I use, they come from the scripture. The scripture, at least in this country, at this moment in time, can still be used. Now, I would suspect that if the religious people and the politicians and the professionals and the self-appointed censors have their way, they will ban the scripture. They will ban the Bible. There's little doubt in my mind. But that's an act of blasphemy when they do it. That's saying that God can't be heard and that we don't want to hear him. Now, I don't doubt but what it's coming to that. It's not quite there yet. And I'm not guilty of the charges that have been brought against me. I'm not foul-mouthed. I'm not profane. I'm not perverted. And I'm not obscene. I'm not a tax evader. I'm not a tax cheat. I'm not a tax fraud. And I'm not a cult leader. I'm not a blasphemer. And I'm not a false prophet. I'm not a thief. And I'm not a cheat. But it is true that I am vulgar. I didn't deny it. All right, guys, I'm about out of time again, so I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And then we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, around the world, in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by invitation only. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.